Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to PD Radio. Welcome to PD Radio. Every Tuesday, bringing you real talk.
That's right.
Bringing you real talk.
That's right.
Music, interviews, and much more. PD Radio. Six-Man Radio. Let's go. Day One Production. Let's go. Bringing you real talk.
That's right.
Bringing you real talk.
That's right.
Music, interviews, and much more. PD Radio. Every Tuesday. PD Radio.
We are your hosts, Miss PD and Black. Hey, Black, what's going on?
What's going on, my favorite lady of the night, Miss PD?
I'm good.
How was your holiday?
You feeling good tonight? Oh, it was great.
No, I'm extra. I'm feeling good.
Are you extra?
Oh, yeah, I'm feeling good right now.
Oh, okay.
I need to lose
okay.
about 5 pounds, though.
Oh, you got it in like that over Thanksgiving?
Oh, man. Yeah, I was, you know, kept going back, getting a little plate of this, a little plate of that.
Now you gotta work it off. Did you get that pie I sent you?
Oh yeah, the pie was outstanding. Never had a chance.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad you got it. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
That's right.
Thanksgiving was, it was great. It was great. I enjoyed the family. Good food, laughs, conversation, you know. Much fun. That's right. I'm looking forward to Christmas now, you know. The Christmas season is upon us. Time to get those gifts in. You know, do your shopping. Get all that going on.
Right.
Got the house decorated. I'm ready to go.
You ready?
I am ready to go. But I will say this. Yeah, for Christmas, I'm not doing all that crazy food like I did for Thanksgiving. Gotta switch it up for Christmas. You get tired of that food after a while, you know?
Yeah, you
same
only eat
thing,
it like
you know.
3 days, yeah.
Not even that for me. It's like, all right, second day was good. After that, like, forget it. I'm done after that. But, you know, it's always the same thing. And I know it's tradition, but, you know, you get tired of that. You gotta switch it up a little bit. So, I won't be doing all that craziness for Christmas, but, you know. It's still going to be great no matter what I do. Yeah. Well, we kicked off the show tonight, taking you back, as we always do, with the jam. Hey, DJ, play that song. What you know about that, Black?
What do you know about
that song?
That's classic.
I asked you first, player.
Classic roller skating sounds right there.
Oh, really?
Back in the Kendall Park days, I used to bust my ass.
You don't know nothing about no Kendall Park. Go sit down. You don't know nothing about it.
Hey, for all our New Jersey heads out there, they know all about Kendall Park and the roller skating, right?
I know. Where my cousin's at? Lady All Right, you need to call up. She stayed in Kendall Park. Her and the Jones boys. Yeah, I rarely went because I can't skate. I cannot skate.
They got your picture on the wall.
Shut up. They do, actually. They're like, don't let her on the floor. I repeat, do not let her on the floor. Yeah, but that's a good song right there. I hope you guys enjoyed that as much as I did playing it, because I was over here in my chair, you know, doing my little chair dance, you know. I'm feeling it. I want to shout out the whole six-man team that are doing big things every day of the week. Shout out to the Day One team and Just Isimus for leading his, you know, lending his vocals to the PD intro and outro. We definitely appreciate you for that, Just.
And shout out
to everyone who grinds hard and goes for their dreams with no procrastination. Life needs to be lived fully. Sideline sitting should be the exception, and not the rule. Man, I could do my own blooper reel. I'm telling you.
Started off early tonight.
I can't get my words out to save my life. But anyway, moving on. Tonight, the second hour of the show, we are excited to talk with Mr. Joe Groves, founder of iVal, Cure for Cancer. He's calling in by way of Las Vegas. He'll share his story, his journey, and how he came to found his wonderful organization to help others. Also, we want to hear about your Thanksgiving. How was it? Good?
That's right.
Bad? Any family feuds? We want to know. Call us up at 646-478-3599 and tell us your Thanksgiving story, whether it's good or bad. How was the food? Did Grandma mess up the potato salad this year? We want to know. Simply call us up and let us know. Or you could just call us up and give a shout out to your loved ones. Whatever you want to do, just call us. PD Radio, 646-478-3599. Now, Black, last week I didn't do the celebrity birthdays, but I'm going to do it again.
Oh, sold out. What you got?
This week, I'm going to do it tonight. Matter of fact, I'm going to do it right now. You ready?
I'm ready.
You ready? You sound like you. Are you ready, Black?
I am ready. Who got a year older? Talk to me.
Because you don't sound hype.
I'm hype.
You got that dry hype going on.
I'm supposed to be like, happy birthday.
That's right. Here we go.
What?
Celebrity birthdays.
Dang.
Tina Turner. The awesome Tina Turner. She is 73 this week. Actress Maya Campbell from In the House with LL Cool J. She's 36 this week. Garcelle Beauvoir. I think that's how you say her name. Beauvoir. That sounds so sexy. Miss Beauvoir. From the Jamie Foxx show, she's 46. She looks hella good, too. Jaleel White, Steve Urkel. Did I do that? He's 36 this week. Miss Robin Givens, the infamous Robin Givens, is 48. James Avery, who played the dad on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, 64. A lot of ladies' favorite. Not particular of mine, but for most ladies, Trey Songz, 27. Barry Gordy, founder of Motown, 82. Don Cheadle, love Don Cheadle, 47.
That's my man right there.
Mm-hmm. Robert Guillaume, remember him, Benson, 84. Mm-hmm, 84 this week.
How's Benson doing?
He looks good from what I saw.
Okay.
Don't know. Miss Oops, I Did It Again, Britney Spears, she's 30. Lucy Liu, 43. And singer Nelly Furtado, 33. You know her song, right? I'm like a bird, only fly away.
Uh-oh.
You don't know nothing about that, Black. You don't know nothing about it. Happy birthday, you guys. Best wishes. All the best to you guys. This is for you.
Soul to the birthday. I like that.
You kept cracking on me with my other one, which I like, by the way. I think I'm going to have to bring him back. I like it because it's
man.
Cheesy. It's a cheesy birthday
Don't
song. That's why I like it. Mm-hmm. Guys, make sure you call us up. Tell us about your Thanksgiving holiday at 646-478-3599. You can call up and say hi to me. You can call up and say hi to Black. Just call up and say, hi.
What's up?
Moving on. What's it?
What you got going on?
That ain't sound too kosher.
Nah, you need a secret. Something going over there.
Shut up. Secrets, Black. People still suck on secrets.
Hey, you still getting it in.
Oh, man.
No, it's playing.
So, I hear the Elmo scandal is getting bigger. A third accuser has come forth and claims that he was 16 when they engaged in sex.
Damn.
All right, Black, what's your thoughts on that?
That man been hanging out with Sandusky too much. I don't know what's going on.
But I'm just saying, right, like, these are people that are older now. Like, what is your point? Like, why are you telling it now? Not that you shouldn't. You shouldn't, you know, be a victim, but it just kind of makes you wonder sometimes. You know, is this people just out to get money? You know, did they willingly engage in these sex acts and now they feel like they can get something from it? So now they want to make it seem like, you know, it's bigger than what it was. I don't know. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to
think.
When
it rains, it pours. That's what it is. It's pouring it on right now, that's all.
Yeah.
And might hear a couple more people come out. Just never know.
Yeah, but I heard one guy recanted his story, though.
That's true.
So,
I did hear that, too.
So I don't really know about that. But speaking of raining and pouring, Halle Berry got her men fighting over her and her current boyfriend or fiance, whatever he is. He surely rained the punches down on her ex. You saw the picture?
I saw the
photo.
Wow.
Crazy. I mean, he beat this guy crazy. His eyes completely black. His face is all bruised up. Ridiculous. Like, the ex didn't stand a chance, it looks like. But he's the one that went to jail. The ex is the one who got beat up actually went to jail. So I need to find out the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I need to find out the whole story on that one. But when I saw the picture, I was like, wow. It's like that, huh, Hallie? Okay.
Got the restraining order going on, too.
Yeah, well, the ex has a restraining order on her current boyfriend after this happened. So,
I gotta ask the fellas. Is that like a if you beat up the ex, is that like a get more sex card or something like that? Do you get like a bonus or something in the bedroom for?
Yeah, fellas, I want to know.
Oh, hey, I'm saying if you gonna risk it, you know, trying to go to jail for her.
Right, right.
It's got to be
for
a bonus. Hey, we all know she's crazy.
Like she a scrub for her. She gonna do all that for her.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be honored if a man fought over me.
Yeah, let me call Billy Bob Thornton. She was. Put your dukes up now.
I think he could put in some work, though, Billy Bob.
Yeah, Billy Bob. I'm done. Billy Bob.
With a name like Billy Bob, you know he get down. He do that rough
fight. Right, exactly, right. Yeah, Billy
that
Bob.
That sloppy fighting.
That is funny, though.
Who you talking to, Negra? Let me.
You stupid, Billy Bob.
I'm stupid, Billy Bob. But I did see something that broke my heart, though. And I have to read this story. Yeah, I have to read it. It happened in Atlanta. I'm sure a lot of people have heard about it by now. But in Atlanta, I'm just going to read the story to you shortly. In Atlanta, a 13-year-old girl has been charged as an adult in the death of her 2-year-old sister. According to investigators, the girl's name is Taeja. Taeja was babysitting her little sister, Sasha, and her 4 other young siblings while both parents were at work. Taeja called her stepfather Monday from jail and confessed to the murder.
What?
Taeja was caught with... Yeah, she told him she did it. But this is why she did it. Well, Taeja was caught with the boy at home while her parents were working. Her mom's co-worker, who lives across the street, was watching them. She saw the daughter let a boy inside the house, and she called the girl's mom at work, who told her to go and get the boy out the house. She found the boy hiding in a closet. After the boy left, Taeja told her 3 siblings to go upstairs while her little sister stayed with her. She made all the other kids go upstairs, and then she stabbed Sasha, the little sister, by the back door. She put her outside and came back in the house, cleaned up the blood, changed clothes, and then came outside and started looking for her with everybody else. When her parents returned home, they asked Taeja where Sasha was, and they began looking for her. The neighbor was the first person to find baby Sasha. And the neighbor said, "I told the mom I found the baby, but I didn't go into detail. It wasn't for me to go into detail, so I let her husband do that." Ray and Taeja's mother then found Sasha's body in the backyard with serious injuries. They thought a dog or something had gotten to her because of the bruises and the scars and all the bleeding. They picked up their daughter and attempted to take her to the hospital, but before they reached the end of their subdivision, Sasha died. Her funeral was today. How crazy is that? This girl was so angry that she got busted having a boy in the house. She just took the rage out on her little sister, her 2-year-old little sister.
2-year-old? We're not even talking about a loud mouth.
She's 2, right?
Wow.
She's 2. Like, I can't even. You know how I get with stuff like that. I'm just done. And then there's a video. I don't know if you saw, Black, there's a video out with the mom. I don't know what she is, but she's beating her baby continuously, like over the head. Did you see that one?
Nah.
Yeah, the baby is crawling on the bed, and the mom is just sitting there, just, you know, sitting there all calm, and she's just taking the pillow and continuously just beating the baby over the head, and then she's throwing stuff at the baby's head, and then she's twisting the baby's head, and she's pinching it. Oh, my gosh, it's so freaking sad. Somebody's sitting there videotaping it, and then you see other kids in the background, they're watching.
What?
And this poor baby is, like, trying to crawl across the bed, crying, and like, trying to lift, you know, his head up. Oh, my gosh, I can't even. I hope they find that woman. I hope they find her and lock her up. Like, there was no justification for her doing it. You've got to see the video. I had to make sure you see that video. I actually started crying at work when I saw it. I'm not even on front. That's how much it bothered me. But I need to get off this subject because then I'll be no good for the rest of the show.
Yeah,
but
most tell me to switch lanes or something.
Yeah, we need to switch lanes. How about we go into some music to liven things up?
Let's
a little bit.
Do it.
Let's
a little something, something. All right.
Feel us high, man.
Yeah. looking for unique, creative gifts for yourself or your loved ones? Well, Poetic Designs offers just that. Personalized pillows, centerpieces, gift favors, frame poetry, baked goods, and more. So check out the site at poeticdesigns.net. At poeticdesigns.net.
Guys, enjoyed those songs. We gave you a little Phyllis Hyman, You Know How to Love Me, followed up by Divine Sounds, What People Do for Money, and we ended it off with CC Peniston, Finally. Love her. I loved her when she was out.
Yeah, that song came out. It was, hey, everybody was on that song.
Mm-hmm. She was so cute with her little dances, right?
Uh-huh.
Her dimples. Right. She was cute. I like
it's
her.
All on it.
I like it
you
in
know,
her.
You know what, Miss Petey?
What's up, Mr. Black?
I was checking out some stories on the way home, and so one caught my attention. So I don't know if anybody know, but there's a big thing about the Catholic Church or Catholic group fires back at Jamie Foxx for referring to Barack Obama as our Lord and Savior. I don't know if anybody caught that on the Soul Train Awards.
I didn't even watch the Soul Train Awards. I didn't hear anything about this. First time I'm hearing it.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was like, what? So basically, you know, I guess when he was giving some type of speech for an award or whatever, like that, he mentioned Barack Obama as our Lord and Savior and stuff like that. So,
did he say it as a joke?
I don't know. See, I don't know what kind of context it was in, but, you know. You know, how do you feel about that? You know, referring to a man as our God and Savior, you know, our Lord and Savior, however you want to put it. You know, how do people feel about that?
If it was said as a joke, then, I mean, I wouldn't put too much into it.
Now, what if it wasn't said as a joke?
Then I wouldn't agree. I don't think he should say that.
Right.
Because nobody, no one is before God. No one. So, you know, so you're not even supposed to even put that out like that, you know? So if he said it seriously, then I think he was wrong. He could say it to himself and to anybody else he wanted all day, but to say it in a public forum like that, he shouldn't have done it. But I can't really say, because if he said it as a joke, it's funny, ha-ha, like it wasn't serious, it was a joke. You know, so let it go. Why are you bashing me for that?
Right, exactly. I think
it would depend on, like, I didn't see it, so I don't know. I really can't call it. So, like I said, if you said it's a joke, what's the big deal? Chill out. Too many.
Yeah, I'm not sure what. Yeah, see, like I said, I don't
know.
Bigger
things in the world going on. Like,
might be a YouTube video or something. See what that's all about. Not exactly sure.
Feel like sometimes people go overboard with things, because if you think about it, every day we sin, all of us. A sin is a sin is a sin is a sin. Doesn't matter if you tell a little white lie, doesn't matter. It's a sin. So if we're going to break down every little thing a person does, we all go into hell. I don't care how prim and proper you think you are, everybody sins. If you're an upstanding, you know, quote unquote Christian citizen who always tries to do the right thing, and you call your job and lie and say you got a cold so you can't go in, knowing you don't, you just don't want to go in, that's a sin. So just because you're a Christian and you help the needy and you do this and this and that, you do everything on the outside that looks good. But if you tell that little white lie, you just sin. So all that is thrown out the window. So I think people go overboard sometimes with this stuff. Nobody is so perfect that we don't sin. And
that's
to harp
true.
On the stupidest things, it's like, really? I can't get with that.
Hey, the two touchiest subjects that people do not want to talk about are religion, politics. Gets too heated. Can't take it. You know?
Yeah.
Talk about anything else. But
Right.
Get back in the corner on that one. So, you know, another thing.
I don't understand how people
go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I don't understand how people, you know, everybody could read the same Bible and come away with different views. You know what I mean? It means what it says. But everybody wants to interpret it their own way. That's always been so crazy to me. Like, this is what it is. Take it for what it is. But everybody wants to break it up and dissect it to make it work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And how does anybody who believe in God, if you believe in God, but you're racist, you know, like, stuff like that, I don't understand. So you're saying we created ourselves. Like, all right, say you're racist, right? You don't like black people, right?
That's right.
Did we create ourselves, or did somebody higher create us? So God created us just for you to hate us? Like, think about what you're saying. Think about what you're believing in. It just sounds, it's so stupid.
Well, most people don't.
How do you believe in God and how do you believe in a God and then say, oh, you're not worthy because you're different? Well, if God is great in your eyes and, you know, he's the Almighty, then he would have created everybody just like you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't know. I'm going off on a whole other subject right now, so. But yeah.
But it's true.
Yeah. To go off on Jamie Foxx, I can't really say too much because I didn't see it. I don't know how it was said. So anybody out there listening, if you watched the Soul Train Awards and you heard how, you know, Jamie Foxx said, give us a call. We want to hear what
you have
to say. 646-478-3599. Miss PD want to know because I didn't see it. So I want to hear from somebody who did.
That's all I got to say about that. Kind of mm-hmm. cracked me up was, you know, there's been a lot of talk about, we're in a recession and all this other stuff, and, you know, it's just been real crazy. But then
mm-hmm.
I check out the stats on Black Friday, and we broke all kinds of records. All kinds of records.
Oh, I heard.
About how much money
mm-hmm.
was spent on Black Friday, that whole weekend. So either somebody lying.
Mm-hmm. Somebody lie.
Like you said, we just try to make things seem bad to justify us talking smack. So
people sinning right now because they're lying.
You know, what's up with that? You mean tell me that people went out and spent money on gifts but didn't pay their rent? Like, talk to me. I mean, what's
Well, you know,
going
people
on?
Do that anyway.
Yeah, sure.
They go out and buy those high-ticket items, and they don't got no rent money.
You know, that's a good topic right there. Like, what's going on this year for Christmas, everybody? You know, are you going out buying the high-end gifts, or are you packing it in and trying to, you know, do it economy style this year? Like, what's going on out there? How are you shopping, Miss PD?
Yeah, who you trying to impress by buying certain items? That's what I want to know. I'm a cheapo, so I'll do it for a special occasion, but I've never been like a gadget. I've never been like a gadget fanatic or felt like I had to have, you know, a certain name brand. That's just not me, so you won't.
Mm.
Now, I like to shop, don't get me wrong, but you don't find me in a frenzy like everybody else, like, oh, I need to get this, and oh, I want that. Like, okay, then you get it, and then it's like, now what? People put too much into things sometimes. It's like, and especially people who do it and then be broke, they want to have something so bad. You know what I mean? And then they have no money to get through the rest of the week.
You're scared.
I can't. I can't.
Hey.
I can't condone it.
We all
so.
Do that at some point. We'll go out, we'll buy something, knowing damn well we shouldn't be buying it. We'll splurge.
But like you said, you can splurge. I mean, that's fine if you're doing something, you know, once in a while. But you find people doing it all the time, trying to live up to a standard, trying to prove that they can afford something. Who are you proving it to? The other broke people that are sitting next to you, they broke too.
Just because
you went and spent a month's paycheck on something don't mean you can afford it. It just means you push something back to get it. You can't afford it. So you're not impressing nobody. So I don't. Black, you already know. I don't even feed into that madness.
Yeah, but that iPhone is hot, though. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Gotta make that move on the iPhone.
Yeah, okay.
Psych.
My Samsung Galaxy is doing me just fine.
Mm. We gonna flip the script. Well, I need to get some more music in my vibe and my bones.
Yeah, let's.
Unless you got something for me, what's up?
No, I just want to tell the people, shop sensibly, people. Stop trying to impress people who don't need to be impressed because they broke too.
Stupid.
People gonna hate
just make
me.
Sure
let me
you
stop.
You buying clean draws. That's all. Good.
Let's go into some music, Black. Cause.
We'll be right back.
Woo! It's PD, what's going on?
PD Radio, we are back. It's that time of the night, you guys. We have our special guest on the line.
Let's bring him in and great fashion.
Let's bring him in. Our special guest is on the line, Mr. Joe Groves of iVal Radio.
PD exclusive. This is a PD exclusive.
Mr. Joe Groves, hello, hello.
Hey, Miss PD, how you doing?
I am great. How are you? Welcome to PD Radio. It's great to have you on tonight.
Hey, what? Thank
how
you
so feeling?
Much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure. It's our pleasure. We also have my co-host on the line, Mr. Black.
Hey, Mr. Black, how you doing
tonight?
Always a pleasure, always a pleasure. But I want to bring you in with a little... That's right.
That is for you.
That is right.
That's right. Applause for our awesome guests.
No,
Joe,
right. Well, thank you
like
very much. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I want to thank you for taking the time to come to PD Radio to tell your story and to shed light on the upcoming launch of your wonderful organization, iVal, A Cure for Cancer. But before we get into that, I'd like you to give our listeners your background, like you could tell us where you're from, because all this is going to lead up to your organization. Now, March of this year, you went to the emergency room. You had chest pains and flu-like symptoms, which eventually led to you being told you had stage 4 lung cancer. Can you share that story with us, Joe?
Sure. Back in March, I had just retired from a large banking institution, which was
mm-hmm.
Bank of America, last year in September.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I went to find start a new career, and I
mm-hmm.
started selling cars for a major car lot. And I sold my first car one night, and then I had pains while I was selling the car to them. So I went home.
Wow.
After I got off work, I went home and jumped into bed and, you know, just wondering, you know, what these sharp pains were that were going across my chest. So then I went home, jumped into bed, and woke up 5 o'clock in the morning to go to the emergency room, and that's when they told me I had pneumonia. So then I checked in the hospital, and, you know, they were very adamant as far as me staying in the hospital, and I was telling them, I said, well, I don't have insurance, so I can't stay here in the hospital. I said, just give me some medicine, and I'll go home.
Right.
You know, because when I got the job, you know, your insurance doesn't kick in for 90 days later.
Right.
So what happened was I wound up, you know, they were so adamant about me staying in the hospital, not telling me I had cancer because it wasn't verified. But when they did the chest x-ray, they seen cancer-like, you know, symptoms all up in my chest area.
Wow.
But they couldn't tell me that I had it, you know, because they had to verify it and take me through all the testing. So when they kept telling me I had pneumonia, I said, okay. I said, I guess I better stay because they told me I had it really, really bad. So I wound up staying in the hospital, and then they started taking me through all these tests and then biopsies and this and that, and all these different doctors are coming in the room, and I'm asking them, you know, I was in there for like 5 days, and I asked them, I said, how long does a person with pneumonia stay in the hospital? And they said, normally 3 days. I said, well, I've been in here for 5. I said, so can you, why am I in here so long? And they said, well, because you don't have insurance, so we want to make sure that everything is okay with you and that when you walk out this hospital, is you're all taken care of, because it would be kind of hard for you to get treated, you know, because you don't have insurance yet. I said, okay. So that's now they're doing biopsies and all of this. And I'm like, well, you know, do people with pneumonia get biopsies?
Right.
So,
right.
You know, so then it wound up they did a biopsy, and then they did another testing, which was a second testing called a bronchoscopy. And that's where they stick this, like, camera-like thing down your throat, you know, to see actually what's going on inside you. So when the doctor came into my room, he said, my name is Dr. So-and-so, and and I'll be performing your rhinoscopy. And I asked him, I said, can you tell me? I said, there's something wrong with me. I said, but you guys are not telling me. I said, there's no way that somebody would come into a hospital and
right.
You guys are telling me I have pneumonia. I said, but all these things and all these doctors are running in and out my room. I said, I'm sure there's something else wrong. I said, what happened to that biopsy that I had done the first time? And he says that came back inconclusive, so we don't want to use that. And I said, I understand that. I said, but what did it say? And he says, oh, we just don't want to use that. He says, so that's why we're doing the second one. And I said,
wow.
You know, I said, I went online and paid for an online doctor to tell me what's going on while I'm in this hospital because you guys are keeping it hush-hush. I said, and what they told me was normally with all the procedures and things that you guys are doing is, you know what, when they first told me that, back up. When he came in and he told me that he were going to do all that, I wound up asking him what did it say. And he was very adamant that he did not want to tell me. So then I said, well, I went and paid for online doctor. I said, and the online doctor said, normally the procedure of a bronchoscopy of what you're doing and all these other things that you guys have been doing in the hospital, he said, normally somebody has lung cancer. But, you know, Ms. PD and Black, when they said that, when I read that on the online, when he told me about normally these procedures, people have lung cancer, I'd never even seen those words, lung cancer, to be honest with you. I was just focusing on, he was telling me how the procedure should have been done.
Right.
So I asked the doctor again. So I said to him, I said, I'm paying for that biopsy, I said, and I would like to know what it says. And and then he told me, he says, well, again, well, let's not worry about that. And I said, no. I said, if you walked in this hospital room, I said, and all the money that I'm paying and I don't have insurance, I said, I need for you to tell me before you walk out this room tonight of what that biopsy said. And that's when he told me that he said, you have stage 4 lung cancer. And I was like, there's no way possible.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that something else? That's crazy, huh?
That is crazy. Wow.
I mean, and stage 4 is considered, you know, terminal. So,
right. And
to be told that you have it and then stage 4, I can't even imagine what went through your mind.
You know, I said to him, because I couldn't believe it, and I didn't even know anything about cancer, and I didn't know what stage 4 was. So I asked him, I said, well, what is stage 4? I said, what does that mean? I know what lung cancer means. I said, but what is stage 4? He said, well, that's the highest level of cancer that a person can have.
It's crazy. My father passed of cancer almost 3 years ago. And,
oh, wow, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I knew he was sick and I knew he had it. I was going to need hospice care. I didn't even know what hospice care was. I just knew that it was maybe some nurses they have to take care of me. So I just figured that because I have cancer, of course, maybe a nurse would have to help me out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I wound up...
Wow.
It was something else. So I wound up calling my parents and telling them. I said, hey, I said, you know, I got some diagnosis here that I have stage 4 lung cancer. But they were, you know, basically saying, well, we're coming out there. You need to come home. And I'm like, no, I'm fine. I said, I feel okay. I said, I'm just going through the pneumonia part. You know, still not recognizing that I had this lung cancer or not realizing how bad it was.
Right.
So
they came
wound
and got
up.
You, though, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, well, I found out eventually.
Took you back to Philadelphia?
yes. So my parents, they wound up, my mom, dad, my brother, my mom and dad are from Philadelphia, and my brother's from Clearwater, Florida, and my aunt is from Philadelphia, my mom's sister. And they all walked into my hospital room 2 days later and surprised me, didn't even tell me. Came out here, come and get you.
That of itself is such a beautiful act of love. Wow, that's amazing. I understand. While in Philadelphia, you tried to get treatment, but you were continuously turned down due to no insurance.
Right.
What gave you the drive, though, to keep pushing when most people probably would have given up at that point?
Right.
What was it in you that made you keep pushing on?
God. I had faith in God that he was coming to help
me. There it is.
And I knew he was coming to help me. And I held on to that, you know, and I just kept my faith that he was coming. I said, you know, I lived a good life all my life. I've done nothing but help people all my life. So I said, I can't imagine that God was going to let me die.
Right.
Wow. It's okay. Take your time.
Whew. You know, I just couldn't imagine.
You got
imagine
me over here tearing up,
right,
Joe.
Now. I've done everything right. You know, I've helped people. I mean, I've helped people all my life. And I said, there's no way that he's going to let me die right now. And so I held on to faith every day, all day. My family, me and my family was on phones calling agencies and everything every single day.
It was May of this year, right, that you found the doctor who took you on.
Yeah,
and performed that life-saving surgery on you.
Exactly.
And what was it, less than a 2% rate of survival?
Yes. Can you imagine that?
Wow. What was the surgery, Joe? And how did you even come across the doctor who actually saved your life?
Well, before I had left Las Vegas to go back to Philadelphia, I was calling around the different cancer treatment centers. And one of them was the Fox Chase Cancer Center, and they had told me, they asked me what type of insurance or do you have, and I told them I didn't have any, and they were very apologetic, you know, very nice, and saying, you know, you have to find get insurance or have something, you know, in order to get in here for us to help you. So then when I went to Philadelphia, I wound up, my last resort was to go because I'm also prior military. So I'm a veteran.
Okay,
gotcha.
So my last resort was to go to the VA, and, you know, I just knew I had guaranteed help there, and I was turned down by the VA.
What?
Wow.
Turned down because they said I had too many resources, that I made too much money the year before. So they couldn't help me, and I couldn't believe that. So then the doctor here, before I left, told me, he says, if you don't get state assistance, you know, and I applied for state assistance, and they turned me down because they said I had too many resources. I had too much money that I made, you know, the year before.
Mm-hmm.
So he told me, he said, if you don't get anything, he said, you're going to have to check in within a short amount of time. You know, just go check into the emergency room, he says, and he says, and once they see that you have cancer, he says that they have to treat you. So I did that. I went and checked into the emergency room, showed them my records that I had cancer, and they told me because I didn't have insurance that they couldn't help me as well. So what they said was I can only stay there for overnight observation. So I stayed for overnight observation, and next thing you know, the next morning came, you know, and all I did all night long was I pulled the Bible out the drawer. I still had all my regular clothes on, no hospital clothes on. And pulled the Bible out, and I read the Bible all night long, all night.
There it
so
is.
Yep. And I knew, and I read healing scriptures that a friend of mine that I was in the military with, his mom had sent me some healing scriptures, and I read those, and I read the Bible all night long, asking God to come and help me, and I knew he would. And next thing you know, my parents walked into the door, and I told them, because this lady walked in and says, hi, my name is, a doctor. She walked in, hi, my name is Dr. So-and-so, and I'll be your doctor. And I said, doctor? I said, no, because the hospital put me out. So she says, I don't know anything about that, but I'm your doctor. And she started talking about whatever she did. Next thing you know, another girl walked in from financial assistance. Says, hi, my name is so-and-so, financial assistance, and I'll be helping you out with your financial because I understand you don't have insurance. And I said, come on. And I said, well, how are you helping me? Because last night they put me out. I said, so what happened between last night and right now? She says, I don't know anything about that, but she says, but I'm here to help you. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
So all I can say is wow. I can't even say anything.
Right.
Yeah, so another girl walked in and says to me, "Hi, my name is so-and-so, and I'll be your personal advocate for the day." So if you need, I said, "And what does a personal advocate do?" She says, "I'll go get you coffee, soda, sandwiches, magazines, anything you need. Just let me know." And I said, "Really?" And I said, "Why are you here?" And she says, she said, "What do you mean?" I said, why are you here?" I said, "Why is everybody coming in this room?" And last night they were very adamant they was putting me out this hospital. And she said, "I don't know anything about that, you know, but we're here to help you." I got my parents walk into the room, and I said to them, I introduced them to the people, and then they all left. And I said to my parents, I said, "Wow," I said, "it's so funny what's happening here." I said, "Last night they was putting me out." I said, "And today," I said, "everybody's running in here trying to help me." I said, "I don't understand." So my mom and dad said to me, they said, "Joe, we have to tell you something." And I said, "What is that?" And they said, "We didn't know what to do with what happened last night, and the hospital wasn't going to help you, and it was putting you out, so we were at our end's wit." So my dad had called up a niece and who used to work for the state of Pennsylvania doing something, and asked her, you know, told her that I was put out the hospital because of the cancer. I mean, I have cancer, and, you know, can you recommend anything, just anything at all? And
right.
She says, "Wow." She says, "A hospital put him out and knowing he has cancer?" He said, "Yeah." She says, "Well, wow. Well, what hospital would do that?" So he gave her the name, and she said to me, or she said to him, she says, "You are kidding me. I just walked in the door with my girlfriend from having dinner, who is the president of that hospital."
Oh, wow.
So she says, "Let me hang up and call you back."
God.
I'm telling you, isn't it? So she hung up on her. She couldn't believe it happened, and she called her hospital and said, "You are to keep him in that hospital, give him preferential treatment, and anything that happens to him, you are to call me immediately and let me know. Everybody that walks in that door, you are to get Dr. So-and-so in there, you are to get so-and-so in there, and make sure he is taken care of." And then she was also a vice president of another hospital who had a big cancer ward. So she recommended me over there, told everybody over there I was coming, which I went the next day, and told everybody that I didn't have insurance. They said, "Get him started right now, and we will work out the financials later." She says, "But get him started right now." And I did, and just so happened is the doctor who treated me was a doctor from the Fox Chase Cancer Center.
Wow.
And those are the ones that told me that they could not help me.
Right.
And she's the one that performed
goodness.
My surgery to where now I am 100% cancer-free.
That is
amazing. Isn't that fantastic?
Amazing. That is
God
simply...
came and he had a plan and a purpose for me. And I just held on to my faith. I knew God was coming to help me, without a doubt. You know, without a
doubt.
So
you have been cancer free
since. And I even put on
faith,
you know, as I was going through it. I told everybody, I said, "I'm not worried about this." I said, "My God's coming to help me with this." And this is before I had my surgery. And I never really, you know, got really too upset about it. You know, it was just so much going on where I never really got upset about it. I had one major breakdown moment. And then after that, you know, it was like, okay, you need to get yourself together and let God take it from here. And he did. Can you imagine that?
So you've been cancer-free since May. Is that right, Joe?
I had my surgery, yes, in May. I had my surgery in May, and I've been cancer-free since then.
Wow.
That is beautiful.
That is a story.
Just,
oh, man.
Joe, your story is so overwhelming.
Cancer, yeah, when somebody has cancer, you know, people will never understand of what they go through in the process and the surgery and the recovery of it. It is like something I would never, ever want to go through, nor want to see anybody else go through such a thing. But cancer is so, it's just out here. It's something that people may get, you know, and so so that's why I want to start my organization, IVAL Cure for Cancer, so I can so I can promote cancer awareness to the world. I want people to know there are a lot of people out here who have it. It's a nasty and horrible disease. I mean, it's a horrible disease. And so I want to promote cancer awareness, and I want to donate the proceeds for cancer research. And when I got out the hospital, God put this this plan in my head to where I never stopped thinking about it, and I kept going forward and forward and forward. And to where now, I mean, I'm so excited to see that my organization is now almost being launched, you know. And
when
is that,
where
I can actually promote cancer awareness, you know, throughout the world. You know, wherever I can promote it is wherever I can go, wherever I can promote it is what I'm going to do. And right now I am almost there. I mean, this dream of mine and this plan that God has for me, it's almost here. I mean, it's like right around the corner. You know, I have a website being built, and the website is I'm on Facebook, where you can find me at Ival Cure for Cancer, and I'm also on Twitter at Ival Cure and then the number 4 Cancer, and my website is going to be I-Val Cure for Cancer as well. And the website should be up and running, I would say, within the next 2 weeks or so. Right now,
sounds
it's just under maintenance. Yeah, so I'm really excited about this. And
you're
going to
launch?
I really appreciate you guys having me on to actually have me promoted as well. Thank you very much.
Oh, the pleasure is all ours, Joe. I just want to, you know, let people know you're going to be launching early 2013, right?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, and it's going to be in Las Vegas?
Yes, I'm launching out of Las Vegas, Nevada.
Okay, well, definitely keep us, you know, posted on that so we can let our listeners know about it, you know,
oh,
for
absolutely.
Support, of course.
Absolutely.
Now, I know
and
people
I would
can
like
donate
to thank, you know, thank Levan Collins at LDC Management for helping me with a lot of this, because it really is a lot of work to be done, a lot of work to actually start such a great organization, and I'd like
Van
to thank
awesome.
Adidra, Tammy, and Jamila from the Sisters Fight. That's a book that they wrote, and 15% of their proceeds are going to actually go to IVAL Cure for Cancer. So I would definitely like to thank them for all their donations that they're going to. Donate to my IVAL Cure for Cancer organization as well.
Well, on behalf of all the ladies, because I am Miss PD, a.k.a. Tammy, you are so welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I'd like to thank my parents, you know, my parents, Lawrence and Janice Dickerson, my daughter for all her support, Jasmine Groves, and my aunt Lillian Mitchell, my nephew, my brother, my sister, Jay Washington, and Jamie Bennett, you know, all my family, including aunts and cousins, you know, they were all there for me. All the ministers in Philadelphia and around the world, you know, all my former coworkers at Bank of America, all my friends and all my Facebook friends as well. Just everybody who prayed and supported me, you know, I just thank you, thank you, thank you, because I could not. No one can get through anything like of cancer without a proper support group. And without all the love
Correct.
That my family gave me and help and support, it was like, wow. You know, I can't imagine people who don't have, you know, a support group like that.
Right.
But I do. Mm-hmm. I do. And I thank all my family and friends.
But, Joe, your story is so overwhelming and inspiring. It's a story of hope. And faith is by... It's a feeling. It's a spiritual connection to God and believing in what you see, believing in what you can't see, actually, but you know it's there. And your story is a testament to that. Sometimes the easy way is to just give up because it's harder to fight. But your faith has made you a survivor who now fights to help others through your organization, IVAL, Cure for Cancer. We at PD Radio support you, and we thank you so much for sharing your story with us tonight. And I want to know from you, Joe, are there any inspiring words you'd like to give to anyone that's listening right now that may be fighting this terrible disease, or even someone who may be the support system of someone who's fighting? Because it's just as hard on them as well as the person who's going through it.
And you're so right on that. It is just as hard on the person who is going through it as well as the support group that they have. Because the people who have cancer, is they go into a depression, and it's just something natural of what that you do. And when my cancer doctor told me that I was going to do that prior to my surgery, I told her, I said, no, I said, I'm not going to go through a depression. I said, I'm fine. I said, I have my God. I said, and I'm such a positive person. I said, to where I won't go through that. And she says, no. She says, I know you come in here every day with this positive attitude. She says, I'm letting you know is you will go through it. And I did go through it as much, and I didn't even recognize it. But when I recognized it, I corrected it. But, and as far as the support group, they're there, and it's like, you know, they try to find the words, you know, to even help that person to keep them from not going into a depression. But as far as for one who may have cancer, is like, just keep faith in God that He is coming to help you, and pray. And as long as you keep faith in God and pray and do everything that the doctors are saying, you know, I mean, you just have to go through it and find someone to talk to if you don't. You know, if anyone needs to talk to someone, they can sure enough contact me. At my Twitter or my Facebook, and send me a personal message, and they can send me their telephone number, you know, and I'll be more than happy to speak to anybody, because if nothing else, I know, and I know, so I could relate to exactly what they're saying. So I would definitely be more than happy to speak to anyone who is a support group, or someone who is going through cancer themselves. It would be my pleasure to speak to anyone at all.
All right. That's awesome. Great advice, Joe. Great advice.
Great.
So, well, again, we thank you, you know, for sharing your story and taking your time to come on PD Radio. We do support you and your cause. We will be following IVAL, A Cure for Cancer. You know, as we said, me and my sisters in spirit, Danica Worthy, Jamila Gomez, and Deidre Green, who wrote the book, A Sister's Fight, A Poetic Anthology of Awareness, we will be donating 15% of the proceeds of our book to your wonderful organization. And we want to do our part to help, because all of us have also been touched by cancer in some way. So we understand and we support it, and we want to bring more awareness to it and do all that we can, because it's a terrible disease that you don't wish on anyone.
Exactly.
Yeah. So again, thank you, Joe, for coming on PD Radio. It was a pleasure to talk to you tonight, and you know, we look forward to following you and seeing this organization grow and get bigger, and just, you know, you're making the best out of a, you know, terrible thing that you went through. And it's become a blessing for you. And now this blessing for you will now be a blessing for others. So we honor you, and we respect you for what you're doing. So thank you, Joe. Thank you very much.
You're certainly welcome, and thank you guys again for all your support. I really, really appreciate it. I really do. Thank you very much.
It's our pleasure. And one more time, you want to give a shout-out?
I had to.
It was worthy. I just want to say one more time, you want to give a shout-out to LeVan Collins of LDC Management for making this all happen tonight. Thank you, LeVan. You're awesome. You know I love you dearly. So on that note, thank you again, Joe. We'll be talking to you, okay?
Great. Thanks a lot. You guys have a great evening.
Thank you. You too.
All right.
Good night.
Wow.
Awesome story.
That's all I can say. You know, I'm over here, I'm just
inspiring.
Sitting here shaking my head. I'm shaking my head.
Like you said, all we could say is wow. That's all. It's like that's all that will come out is wow.
Yeah,
you know, to hear the story and crazy. But
like,
you know,
my whole thing,
we always say, go ahead, Black.
No, I was saying my whole thing is like we have all these people who have the power to make a difference and change the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes
mm-hmm.
with a dollar sign attached to it, and that really pisses
mm-hmm.
me off. Like, you got somebody who needs help, and you won't help them because they don't have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Something that's going to take a couple hours. Oh,
mm-hmm.
no, we can't help you because, you know, such and such or whatever. It's like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, it just pisses me off.
Like the movie John Q, you remember? It can cause some people to go through desperate measures, you know, just to get help to save their lives. Like,
right.
You know, I'm asking you to save my life. Like, that means nothing to you? To save my life? Like,
right, but we
wow.
talk about how, you know, every life is worth so much. But at the same time, if you don't have insurance, your life ain't worth, you know, they treat you like you're not worth nothing. So it's
mm-hmm. They actually have people, I mean, there's people out there with jobs who value people's lives and what each person is worth.
And you know what else kills me, too? That whole
what are they, actuaries that do that? They determine your worth.
Right.
Like, it's crazy. It's just crazy.
Yeah, and the other thing with that is, oh, well, you fall into that category where, okay, you make too much. Oh, you make too little. You know what I mean? Like, what is that?
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Quote, unquote, I make too much? Whatever, man. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of things that when you hear the story, you know, that comes into mind. Like, it's just the fact that we always talk about faith and how you need to have faith. And his story proved that just relying on his faith and never giving up on it.
Exactly.
You know, things came through for him because you can't have faith and then still doubt. And that's where a lot of us fall short. You know, we say
that's
we have
true.
Faith, but then that doubt is still rolling around like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then there you start to question God because it's not moving the way you think it's supposed to move. And then another thing, you know, that I find with his story is you just never know who is going to be that person that comes through for you.
That's
like
true.
The president of the hospital, you know. Just a parent sharing the story with someone, and then they relate it to someone else. It's like, wait a minute.
Right.
Okay.
Not my place of business.
You just never know. That's why you don't step on toes, you know. That's why you don't put people down. You just never know who that person is that's going to come through, you know what I mean, to save your life. Or to get you at that place where you need to be. So that's also
right.
a lesson to be learned as well. But, you know, great interview. I really enjoyed his interview.
Oh, yeah. And
I got the feeling Joe could have talked a lot longer.
I'm telling you, I'm over here just shaking my head the whole way through. And it's like people, and it's not even based, you know, about, you know, his situation, but all the time people will tell you things to make you turn around and walk the other way. They will keep
mm-hmm.
chipping
why,
away at you
mm-hmm.
to make you walk away and turn the other cheek and not get what you deserve. And
that's why I asked him what gave him the drive to continue on, because most people at that point would have just been like, forget it.
Right.
You know, this is my fate. It's my time to go. Forget it. But he did not give up. So, it has to be in you, but you – like you said, people will chip away at you and tell you this or tell you that, and you will just think, okay, that's it.
Right.
It takes a strong mind, you know, a strong individual to say, no, I'm going to keep going. You know, whether, you know, you're fighting an illness or, you know, trying to start a business or whatever it is you're trying to do, there's always going to be those people saying no.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's not going to support you. It's not going to help you. But it's got to take that strong mind and say, well, I'm keeping on. I'm doing this. And those are the ones that, you know, that make it.
That's true.
So, It is life. So, I want to go into some music right now, get the spirit moving, you know, get some happy thoughts going on up in here.
What you want to hear? Talk to me.
Let me see, Black. You know what I want to hear.
What we got on the itinerary?
I want to hear Rufus and Chaka Khan. Do you love what you feel?
Ooh.
I
every guest.
I love what I feel. You love what you feel, Black?
I love it, live it, enjoy it.
I love PD Radio.
PD Radio.
Come easy, boy, please believe me,
Do you have creative talents such as poetry, music, graphic designs, or photography? Well, whatever your creative gifts are, come join and share on my networking site at poeticdesigns.name.com.
Let's don't keep it. cause I'm not trying now to end it all.
Production crew here are taking over this world. So we want all of you ding dangers to pack up your hips and your hocks, get on your high horses, and vamoose!
Hey!
Miss PD, Miss PD.
Mr. Black.
Another
Another
lovely
good
show.
One. You know it.
Another lovely show.
The music was great. And we want to thank our guest tonight, Mr. Joe Groves from Las Vegas, who called in tonight to share his story, his very inspiring story on beating cancer, and his wonderful organization that will be launching in 2013 called iVal, A Cure for Cancer. Make sure you check out the PD Radio website to get all the info at pdradio.site40.net. We thank you all for listening tonight. PD Radio loves you.
That's right. And we're going to head on out.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Welcome to PD Radio. Welcome to PD Radio. Every Tuesday, bringing you real talk.
That's right.
Bringing you real talk.
That's right.
Music, interviews, and much more. PD Radio. Six Man Radio. Six Man Radio.
Let's go.
That's right.
Day One Production. Let's go.
Let's go.
Bringing you real talk.
That's right.
Bringing you real talk.
That's right.
Music, interviews, and much more. PD Radio.
Yeah.
Every Tuesday. PD Radio.
Sayonara.
Ah.
Yeah.